What if the history you thought you knew was just the tip of the iceberg? Plus, why is it important for us to overtell stories in an era of boundless information? Yeah, let's talk about that.
Instead of focusing on winning arguments, we're teaching the basic fundamentals of sales and marketing and how we can use them to win in the world of politics, teaching you how to meet people where they're at on the issues they care about. Welcome to The Brian Nichols Show.
Well, hey there, folks. Brian Nichols here on The Brian Nichols Show, and thank you for joining us on, of course, another fun-filled episode. I am, as always, your humble host, joining you from our Cardio Miracle Studios here in lovely Eastern Indiana. The Brian Nichols Show is powered by Amp America. Very excited to be part of the Amp America team. News articles, opinion pieces, and more all over at Amp America. If you're tired of the news with all the nonsense and the fluff, you need to check out Amp America. Now, I'm not just saying that because I'm part of the Amp America team and because I write some, dare I say, bangers over at Amp America when it comes to some opinion pieces. Actually, I just wrote an awesome piece. I am definitely promoting this right now, an awesome piece in terms of misinformation from the media. It actually kind of correlates with our conversation today that we're going to have with our guests. I'll touch about that in a little bit. But when we're talking about the media and its framing of issues in such a dishonest way and how it actually leads to more conflict, yeah, I dig into that and more over at Amp America. So be sure to check that out, ampamerica.com. Also, The Brian Nichols Show is powered by Cardio Miracle. Yours truly is also powered by Cardio Miracle for like the past year. And folks, what is Cardio Miracle? It is the best heart health supplement in the world. No questions asked, bar none. Now, like I said, I've been using Cardio Miracle for about a year now. The secret ingredient, nitric oxide. Why does it matter? Because if you take Cardio Miracle, you will experience the benefits like yours truly has experienced. Better sleep, better pump at the gym, and namely, this is the best thing for me, both, you know, just from a health standpoint, but heck, I'm a new dad. I want to be living for a long, long time. Lower blood pressure. I was blown away. I have a family history of high blood pressure. I work out 6 days a week. I eat healthy. And I'm like, what more can I do? I'm doing all the right things. And I found Cardio Miracle. And I watched as my blood pressure went from like a 140 over 90, I know, down to like a 120 over 80 consistently. Blew me away. I was shocked at just how much Cardio Miracle has helped me. And I was just blown away with not just Cardio Miracle as a solution, but blown away that more people aren't aware of Cardio Miracle. So here's what I want to bring to you, my amazing audience here at The Brian Nichols Show, and that is an exclusive offer, 15% off your order of Cardio Miracle if you use code TBNS at checkout. How about that? And also, there's a 100% money back guarantee, so you literally have nothing to lose besides that high blood pressure like I did. So if you want to go ahead, take part in the Cardio Miracle difference for yourself, head to the show notes, or if you're watching us in the video version, link in the description. Cardio Miracle is the best heart health supplement in the world, and tens of thousands of other folks have already experienced the difference for themselves. I see you in the audience who's already taken advantage of Cardio Miracle. There's literally dozens of you guys out there who are using Cardio Miracle. We're in the orders of hundreds of Cardio Miracle that have been sent out to Brian Nichols Show audience listeners. And I'm hearing from you guys as well that you're seeing the difference. So if you want to take part in the Cardio Miracle Revolution, one more time, link in the show notes, Cardio Miracle, the best heart health supplement in the world. Your heart will thank you. All right, we paid some bills, but let's talk about history. And you know, to talk about history and the importance of basically oversharing, right? And heck, we're a podcast, so we've had 830 plus episodes here where I dare say we've shared quite a bit. And with that, why is it important to share things as they happen? And frankly, to be able to talk about the nuance, the context behind what's happening in real time, because maybe if we don't, what actually is happening will get forgotten. To discuss all that and more, returning to The Brian Nichols Show, good buddy Caleb Franz, welcome back to the program. Caleb, it's been too long. Where you been? What's been going on?
It has been a while, but it's always good to be on with you, Brian. And it's been very busy for me. I've been in the progress and the process of writing a new biography. New book that's been in the works for about two and a half years now. It's finally going to be coming out here in October.
Love it. And that's what we're going to talk Sorry, I didn't mean to channel my inner Joe Biden. Yeah, do the creepy whisper, man. But no, we're going to talk about, yes, this brand new book, but also some context behind that new book, Caleb. And I'm not trying to spoil the book. You're going to do us all the favor of digging into the dirty details. But we're talking about a figure from history going back to the 1800s, very notable part of the abolitionist movement. No, not Frederick Douglass. And that's the point. There were a lot more folks in this greater movement who have been forgotten throughout the years, and namely because we don't talk about them. And I want to really frame the context of the conversation today in that world, Caleb, that this is why, right, we're having this conversation today and why we need to have these conversations, because it's so easy for things to just get forgotten. Like, I use this example a lot. Like, everybody in the audience, just think for a second. Caleb, you can play along if you want. Think to your parents and think about what you know about your parents. Quite a bit. Now think about your grandparents. What do you know about your grandparents? Decent amount, right? Think about your great-grandparents. What do you know from them? A little bit. I remember my great-grandma, she grew up in the Depression. She lived in a chicken coop for years. I know that on my dad's side, my family came from French, like some French-Canadian stuff. But then what about their parents? My great-great-grandparents? Ooh, now I'm getting like into the weeds. And that is exactly why it's so important for us to share history, to talk about what happens as it happens. So, Caleb, let's set the context here for this conversation. Who are we talking about? Why was he an important figure in this abolitionist movement? And why do we not know John Rankin's name? I had to look. I forgot his name, and we talked about it 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a household name, and that's a shame, because yeah. John Rankin is, for all intents and purposes, the father of abolitionism. He wrote a series of letters they were public letters that were addressed to his brother after his brother had purchased slaves, and this really deeply sort of disturbed him in a way that motivated him to action. And produce these letters so that everyone can read them. Because in his mind, if he grew up in this deeply religious and deeply anti-slavery household, and if even his own flesh and blood can be convinced or be tricked in a way of convincing himself of the arguments that slavery is either not as bad as it really is, or that it might even be beneficial to the slave, or one of the various arguments that was kind of thrown around at the time to preserve its own institution. If that can happen in his own family, then there are countless of individuals who have never heard these arguments and likely
which,
never
which,
will.
Which, by the way, Caleb, I don't mean to interrupt. That is like the epitome of taking the self-hating Jew argument we hear right now with the Israeli context. But like... Mm-hmm. This is like a real argument, like the benefit to slavery mm-hmm. for the slave.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, there were a lot of there's a lot of arguments in the early to mid 1800s that today really make our heads scratch and kind of open our eyes a bit. But they were serious arguments that had to be overcome. And John Rankin's letters were kind of the first step in helping make sure that we did overcome that. And more specifically, they eventually found their ways into the hands of a man named William Lloyd Garrison, who, if you may have heard of him, the notable mentor of Frederick Douglass, and
break free from the cycle of chronic pain, anxiety, and restless nights. Ebel CBD brings you a natural relief with a chance to truly thrive. And as a listener of The Brian Nichols Show, enjoy an exclusive 15% discount by using code TBNS at briannicholsshow.com/Ebels. Take the first step towards a healthier, more balanced you with Ebels. One more time, briannicholsshow.com/Ebels. And now, back to the show.
Garrison is sort of known as the man who kind of put together the American Anti-Slavery Society. He launched the Liberator, greatly thought of as one of, if not the most influential figures in the abolitionist movement. And because of Rankin's influence on Garrison, that kind of reframes our understanding a bit of well, where did the abolitionist movement really begin? And I argue in this book that really it started with Rankin and his letters.
So, Caleb, why haven't we heard of him before? Why has John Rankin fallen so far down the ladder of historical records? When I think of the abolitionist movement, I think of Garrison, I think of Frederick Douglass, I think of Harriet Tubman. Like, these are the names that we all read in our history books when we're growing up in school. Is that why we're, like, as a society, that's what we know? Because we have, and I think we talked about this last episode with Joe Golisarian, like, we have this Overton window that we're allowed to discuss history within, and you can't get outside of it, right? Is that part of it, or is there something that we're missing here?
You know, this was a question that was one that really stuck with me throughout the writing process, because it wasn't entirely clear. It seems so obvious that someone like this should be much more popular than what he is. Every time I mention it or have spoken to the book about with someone, the reaction that I get is almost unanimously like, one, this is an incredible story, and then two, why have I never heard this story before? So clearly the reaction is there, and the interest and the intrigue is there, but he's largely still been forgotten about. And I kind of wrestled with this question throughout the writing process. One reason I think is because it's a little, at the time of the Underground Railroad and the abolitionist movement, it was a little bit safer, because a lot of these people that we know of are from either New England or from the eastern, you know, seaboard on the coast. And it was still dangerous, but a little bit safer in somewhere like a Boston than it was where John Rankin was in Ripley, Ohio, right on the border of the Ohio River, overlooking Kentucky. He was planted very prominently just on the other side of slavery. So anything that he said or did carried a certain amount of risk that was much greater than anything that was happening in New England or New York or anywhere in the East Coast.
And to that, Caleb, just because I think we need to have the appropriate context to that risk, can you articulate what the consequences would have been, right, in associating it with that risk?
Yeah, well, I mean, John Rankin was mobbed frequently throughout his life, especially in the 1830s, whenever the anti-slavery movement was really beginning to pick up steam. He had rocks thrown at him, eggs thrown at him. He had to eventually start parking his horse on the other side of town whenever he would go and give a lecture or a speech, because anti-abolitionist mobs would often go and shave the horse and bob its tail. Really cruel stuff. Eventually, he also had bounties put on his head up to $3,000. So this was not dead or alive. So this is not, you know, light stuff.
Which, by the way, $3,000 in 1860 was like enough to be set for a while. So that
it
just
was,
for context.
It was like more than a mortgage down payment is today.
Like that's like a life changing amount of
nice
money.
House.
Right.
Yeah, it was no insignificant sum of money back then. And that was, you know, he was the man that the anti-abolitionists and the slaveholders and in the South would look at, especially in Kentucky across the river where his house sat. He was the man that everyone kind of looked at as the ringleader of all of these activities. Hmm. So it elicited a certain level of hope for the slaves that were escaping slavery and trying to find their way onto the Underground Railroad. But it also elicited a certain level of disdain and vitriol from the slaveholders, and that came to fruition in more ways than one.
It's interesting to me, Caleb. I was kind of just the wheels were turning as you were wrapping that up. Like, how we don't know more about John Rankin, because you look at what he had to do in order to communicate his ideas. And frankly, to your point, these ideas being so controversial at the time, right? Mm-hmm. So you would almost think that more people would have heard of him, because in order to promote his ideas, he would have to do so in a very public forum. And yeah. And like you look where we are today, and maybe this kind of speaks to why we have so much information, is because we have a community of folks who share and sometimes overshare. But maybe that's a good thing, because it helps us more or less document when things are taking place. So when we go back in time, as we're trying to understand how we got to certain situations or certain, you know, tipping points, whatever it may be in our history, we can be like, oh, this is how it built up. Whereas was it just that people weren't documenting that John Rankin was going out and speaking and causing such a ruckus? And I guess why is it then that more folks like a Frederick Douglass are noted in history versus Rankin, who was, you know, basically he was the one upsetting the apple cart from the onset and really making a name, not just for himself, but for a movement that really wasn't carried forward until a few years later?
Well, Frederick Douglass, I will say, he got his notoriety for very good reasoning. He was kind of a mix of all the right elements at the exact right time. But a lot of the other abolitionists became popular. Like I was talking about, there was an element of safety in play in this. And largely, whenever people would go through, there was another Underground Railroad conductor in Philadelphia named William Sill, and he was a black abolitionist who knew Harriet Tubman, and he collected all the stories of the Underground Railroad passengers that came through his station, and eventually published this in a book in the 1870s. Well, that didn't happen in Ripley. Because John Rankin specifically instructed a lot of the fellow conductors that were there in that community to either burn their documentation or make sure not to leave a paper trail, because the risk was that severe, especially after the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, that they couldn't risk anything. It was too dangerous. So there's an element of that to it as well. But also, Rankin was a very humble person. And he was not one to really promote his own accomplishments. He was a man of deep, profound faith that would be happy to promote that, but less so his own workings. He did write an autobiography, but even, you know, kind of reading through it, as I had the opportunity to do in writing this book, It's very apparent that he kind of downplays some of his more extraordinary feats and more extraordinary accomplishments in favor of other people's stories. So kind of a combination of all of those things kind of lead to John Rankin's story being a little muddled throughout history.
Picture this. You wake up with a pounding headache and a sore throat, and you dread the thought of dragging yourself to the doctor's office, waiting for hours just to get a simple prescription. But what if I told you there's a better way? With The Wellness Company, you can see a board-certified doctor right from your phone or computer. No more waiting rooms, no more hassle. Just log in, describe your symptoms, and get the treatment you need. And as a listener of The Brian Nichols Show, you're going to get 10% off your visit if you use code TBNS. So don't let your busy schedule keep you from feeling your best. Visit The Wellness Company and use code TBNS to start your journey to a convenient, affordable healthcare. Caleb, you're writing this book, and you're telling more. You're sharing a story that hasn't been heard by a lot of folks. So what do you kind of take away from John Rankin's story, and what do you hope, not just the audience, but, you know, frankly, anybody who reads your book will take away from John Rankin? And how do you apply what you've learned in terms of trying to tell someone's story that wasn't widely shared at the time and apply it to the context of what we see here taking place in 2024 I mean, look just no further than 4 short years ago with the COVID vaccine stuff, right? And the COVID insanity. We're seeing why it was important to have documentation of what was said, because now we're seeing more and more folks say, like, we never said that. We never said you had to get vaccinated. Otherwise, we want to take your kids. Oh, wait, we have the receipts. So is that maybe something that we could dig into a little bit more in terms of the importance of sharing stories today? I want to get your thoughts there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there are several lessons to take from John Rankin's story, and all of them are very powerful and very important. I think the way that I frame John Rankin in this book is I kind of paint him as a George Washington type figure for the abolitionist movement, someone who was the right person to unify an otherwise very divisive and community full of powerful personalities that would oftentimes overshadow some of the more pure driving forces of the movement. And that certainly became a problem as politics got involved in the movement. And there's a lot of lessons there for our current world and whatever movement that you're part of. It could be political, it could be religious. But John Rankin made sure, because he had a certain level of integrity that I think is often missing in a lot of leaders. And he also had a certain level of understanding of duty and responsibility that is greater than himself. And that was a very significant driving force in all of his actions. He was a Presbyterian minister, so he felt called by God to eventually see that slavery was, in fact, defeated. And whenever you have that calling, no amount of personal fame or personal glory can really outweigh that. So whenever you have that weighing on the other side of you, that certainly helps keep your priorities straight.
Caleb Franz, thank you. Not just selfishly for coming on the show, but thank you for doing this. You're helping not just share stories from folks who played a huge role in our history, but I think you're doing more than just that today. You're helping paint the picture to the audience of why we need to share what we believe. And this is my final thoughts, by the way. We have to stop being afraid. We have to stop being the people who sit on the sidelines and be spectators in your own life. You need to be an active participant. And that means standing up and speaking your mind, saying what you believe. Now, that doesn't mean going out and being like rude or combative or divisive, but rather when you hold an opinion that is very near and dear to your heart that maybe it doesn't jive with the status quo, that it's okay to stand up and speak your mind. Because what happens when you do that is other people watch, other people see, and it gives them permission to do the same. And what you're going to find, I can almost guarantee it, that more people actually believe what you believe than you would have guessed. And yet they were themselves too afraid to speak that truth or to speak their mind for fear of ostracization or judgment from the community at large. But what we realize, I think, when we start to stand up is that there are more people within our community that we didn't even realize were there. And we can really work together and not just aim for a common cause, but to share the benefits out loud so other people can not just hear it, but then down the road, look back to see who was actually doing things differently. Who were the ones trying new things, innovating different ways of approaching very complex or controversial ideas? And it paints a picture not just for how they were able to fix a problem or to bring things forward, but it gives us a blueprint today that we can follow to understand how, when we're facing crossroads, to know which road to take and which crossroads in history were the most effective and yielded the most positive outcomes. Because for every positive outcome that we can learn from, there's also negative outcomes we can learn from. One, look no further than, communist China or communist Soviet Russia. Like these are all examples in history that we can look to and I think pretty, I hope adamantly say, were horrible because they killed hundreds of millions of people and led to like complete backward societies for generations. I think we can agree on that because they were, in fact, not good outcomes. So we wouldn't know that, though, if we didn't have the ability to communicate and see what had happened in the past and to learn from what happened in the past. So that's my final thoughts for today, Caleb. I would love to hear what your final thoughts are. And also, this book you've been working for 2.5 years on, Caleb, when can we get our hands on it and dig in?
Well, thank you for this, Brian. This has been great. It's always good to connect with you and chat. I always enjoy our conversations. I will say that, history is something that I think every citizen has a duty to kind of dive into and at least try to understand, at least on a surface level, as much as they can, because this is the one area that affects, I mean, perhaps, you could argue that religion is the other issue that might do this, but there's plenty of overlap between history and religion. So it kind of goes back to history, even with that, where this informs how we educate our children. This informs how we vote. This informs the values that we hold in more ways than almost any other subject. So I really can't emphasize enough how important it is to go out and understand not just the big picture sort of national history, but those in your backyard. Because John Rankin's story has largely been seen as a very regional or very local story throughout most of American history. And that's a shame. And there, I think most of your audience, and I think most people who will come across this book, needs to understand that most American history happens not really in Washington, D.C. or in New York City or in Boston, kind of the way it's framed, but it really happens largely in your backyard. And that's the big takeaway that I hope that, at least one of the big takeaways that I hope that the readers of this book will come to understand, is that if you start to, turn over some stones, you'll find some really incredible stuff, just like I have here with John Rankin. The book is called The Conductor, and it is the story of Reverend John Rankin, abolitionism's essential founding father. It's coming out on October 15th. It is currently available for pre-order. So if you're interested in the story, I highly encourage you to go out and pre-order this book. It really helps as far as getting the more eyes on the book itself. If you go to Amazon and just pre-order the link, then that will really help in a lot of ways. So that's the book, and I can't wait for you to read it.
Now, Caleb, we know my shtick here, right? I'm the sales guy, so I'm gonna make it even easier for folks to go ahead and find The Conductor, and that is by including the pre-order link in our show notes. So folks, if you wanna grab your hands on a copy of Caleb's brand new book that he's been working for over 2.5 years on, please go ahead into the show notes, or if you're watching the video version of the show today, into the video description, click that link, get your copy pre-ordered today, because I can almost guarantee that as soon as it goes live, they're going to be start flying off the shelves, and it's going to be hard to get. So make sure you get your copy pre-ordered today, and heck, if you do end up getting a copy and you give it a read, I want you to reach out to Caleb and let him know that you heard him here on the Brian Nichols Show, because I know Caleb loves to hear from our audience, because usually when we wrap up these conversations, it's like, wow, Caleb, I didn't know about name person from history here, and then I listened to the podcast and now I feel like I was their best friend. So Caleb, thank you for always educating, enlightening, and informing our audience. With that being said, where can folks go ahead, reach out to you if they want to continue the conversation over on the social medias?
Probably the most or at least the most active. I'm not very active on social media anymore, but I still kind of lurk and scroll. I'm on X or Twitter, whichever one you want to call it, at Caleb Franz. And that's probably going to be the best way to
get the lurker, the ever lurker that is Caleb Franz. No, don't worry. You're not missing much, dude. Like, social media has pretty much turned into a cesspool at this point. I kind of am on board with the dead internet theory at this point, and that is that the internet died in 2014, and everything that you've been seeing has just been, you know, internet regurgitating all the other information that was on the internet and then turning it into this big amalgamation of just bleh, and that's basically what it is. And it's really, really fun, Caleb. So don't worry, you're not missing much, and I know you're keeping an eye on it by being the lurker. So just don't engage. I don't really engage either. Joe Biden's back. I don't engage either, man. But no,
it's much better for your mental health that way.
It really is, man. Like, I know this is taking a little bit of a different turn. This is the stuff, folks, we usually talk about at the end of an episode after we hit end recording. But like, seriously, when you're online, it just feels, I feel bad. I don't know how to even put it into different words. Like, I just feel like I want to share my show. I want to promote the show because I know that when we have amazing guests like you on the show, or heck, we had Joe Golisarian on here on last episode talking about like just how AI is going to be changing not just the way we do things, but it's going to be changing the way a lot of people are going to be working because their jobs are going to be gone. So like, it's important for us to share these stories. And yet, when I go online and I, you know, I'm getting ready to share my stuff, and I'm just like, okay, let's scroll for a second. And I just, you know, see, oh, this person is, literally the second coming of Satan. Look at the numbers are, if you flip them upside down, I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. You feel worse, and it's usually never productive. I still use it for book promotion, obviously, right now, but, as far as leisure, I find, more enjoyment and other activities.
Yeah. Okay. We're still recording. So how about this, folks? You know where to find the show, right? I hope you do, at least at this point, if you're a long time listener. But I don't know, Caleb, we've been getting a lot of folks joining us after we joined Amp America. So, I mean, I'm just going to peek behind the curtain here. That was me opening the proverbial curtain, by the way, for the audio listener. Our numbers are up 376% since January. I'm frankly kind of still shocked at that and stunned by that. And I wanted to just be transparent to the audience that that's where we are. We've just been blowing up. And I really want to thank the brand new members of the audience. But also to that, I know for all you brand new members of the audience, there's probably a lot of episodes from the archives that you can dig through and catch up on, because we've had Caleb on the show, like what, Caleb, 4 or 5 times? Like,
well, several times.
Over the last few years, your first episode was back when you were doing the reintegration project. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I actually just, that episode, by the way, like had a couple of random downloads like a couple weeks ago. Like there was like a like a random 250 downloads. So like people are still going through the archives and checking them out. So anyways, I say all that, folks, there are so many awesome episodes from yesteryear here of the Brian Nichols Show. And I mean, heck, if you want to go back to the entire point and theme of the episode of today and just like listen to what we were talking about as it was happening, it really gives you like the not just like the what happened, but the additional necessary context of the time frame of when it was happening. Like one of the first podcasts that I did during the pandemic was with our good buddy Remzo. It was called like Pandemic Podcasting, and Remzo was doing On the Run with Remzo Martinez. And I was, you know, still in the, I think year starting year 3 of the Brian Nichols Show. And like to hear us, you know, casually talking about where we were in it was like late March of 2020. And then you fast forward to, you know, I'm having Nick Hudson from Panda, the Pandemic Analytics and Data Organization based in South Africa. And he was doing like crazy data and releasing that end of 2020, beginning of 2021. And just like, you know, here I am like talking about like, I'm in Philadelphia, lockdowns are going crazy. Like they want vax cards when those come out. And just the context of everything, it really does help paint that picture. So there's an ad for going back and listening to the old episodes of the show. With that, you can find, I think, back to episode like 250-ish on the YouTubes. We didn't start doing YouTube show until 2021, I think it was. So if you want to catch those old episodes, like we're going back way back into the time machine, right? 2018, 2019, and yes, the beginning of 2020, all the way through 2020, during the beginning of the pandemic, you got to go through and check out the episodes via podcast. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, I like Podcast Addict, wherever you go ahead and get your podcast, go ahead, check out all those old episodes in the archives. And I did mention, yes, we are on video, YouTube, Rumble, Twitter, X, or which is now X.com, and Facebook. We upload our video content there. So yes, please go ahead and give us some love. Before I thank our sponsors, Caleb, any last words for the audience today? I just took a monopoly. Yeah, a monologue of a monopoly. Any last thoughts here for the audience as we wrap things up?
Well, thanks again, Brian. It's been great. And yeah, just please go out and pre-order the book. That's going to help so much in the sales, which I know that you know all about. So.
My world.
So yeah, thanks so much. And if anyone has any questions, please reach out.
Yes, can't agree more. All right, folks, with that being said, one final plug, and that is to thank the folks who support us, and that is our phenomenal sponsors. So please go ahead and support them, because yes, they are the ones who help us keep the lights on and have amazing conversations with folks like Caleb. So our amazing sponsors include Cardio Miracle, The Wellness Company, Indie Emporium with their brand new Michael Scott 2024 40-day plan, and then we are back in business t-shirt. We also have some of the old classic sponsors like Ebel's CBD, Blood of Tyrants Wine, Liquid Freedom Energy Tea, plus we have our good friends over at the Proud Libertarian shop. Use code TBNS at the shop for 15% off any order. All right, that's all we have for you. Brian Nichols signing off here in the Brian Nichols Show for our good buddy Caleb Franz. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Nichols Show. Find more episodes at BrianNicholsShow.com.